I will follow you to the depths of the earth.
And something. That is our intro. Hello.
I was hoping.
Kyle will follow all of us to the depths of the earth.
Yeah, that was not targeted at any single person.
It's probably
just all, but
there are probably some video games down there somewhere. Like,
maybe.
Like, what if that's what the dinosaurs did this whole time?
They've had a startup.
Like, what if there's, like, Halo Jurassic Edition under, like, various layers of the Earth's crust?
I mean,
I was thinking of just all those E.T. games at the bottom of the Mariana Trench that I'm sure are there.
They dug those up from the desert, though.
You're right, they did.
Whatever, I mean, some
other old video Atari game.
Yeah, I'm assuming if you bury a plastic cartridge just in, like, the ground, it'll probably be there forever. Like,
nope.
20,000 years from now, when aliens find Earth
probably.
And they discover our civilization, what's left of it, they'll be like, oh, what's this? What's that?
That was a PS4.
That's an active PlayStation noise?
I had to move it.
Oh, that's fine.
It won't make any more noise.
No worries. What? I just, this like, I had to look over my desktop again. I thought it was my,
okay.
I was like, that's not the noise that my computer makes. And then it wasn't, but it's fine. Anyway.
What is this?
Small
and
terrors
this
of the 21st century.
This is the Keyboard Crown Games podcast. My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me today, Lorraine Morbido is here.
It's true.
Joining us today via the internet.
Wow, wow.
Kyle McGrath is here.
I forgot to think of something funny to say.
Oh, you're fine.
What am I? What will I do?
Oh.
You can cut me out anytime. It's fine. Just edit, get it in post.
That's right.
Now you're just giving me homework. Damn.
Take something funny I said a year ago.
Yep. And just put it in there. Insert hilarious catchphrase.
I'll just get like a Kyle soundboard.
Yep.
Like I'll just always be recording you like the NSA already is.
Yeah,
and
we
I'll
don't
just pull from their archives and be like, oh, here's this really good quip that Kyle said like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Beep.
Got it.
It's beautiful.
It's all figured out.
If anyone needs me, I'll be in my room.
Mm-hmm. Forget that, man. Machine learning.
Go to the corner.
Give another couple years, you'll be able to record 2 hours of Kyle's speech patterns and then make a robot that can make him say anything you want.
Yep.
Cool.
and the video technology will be there to go right alongside it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll
put the final
hologram.
Nail in, like, the finally truth will be truly meaningless.
Great. Yep.
It'll
can't
be
wait.
The golden age of fake news.
But until then.
We're only in the Bronze Age.
No, it's right. We're just getting yep. that machine going.
Uh-huh.
Beep, beep.
It's like smelting copper or whatever. How do you make bronze? what's in bronze?
It's like an alloy.
It's probably copper, right?
It's
there's some.
Copper
I think there's
iron
like
or something.
Tin
Hold
or like
on.
Aluminum.
Hold on.
Kyle's going to.
What am bronze?
They ship
bronze, 88% copper and 12% tin.
Look at okay, that. I got go. The tin. I did it. I'm the greatest.
Good job.
I'm a metallurgist. I'm not a metallurgist.
Your mining rank in World of Warcraft finally paid off.
Thank goodness.
Nice.
They
anyway.
Left the Bronze Age because it was too hard to work with. They went. That's why they moved on to the Iron Age. Fact.
Man,
like it was too hard to make
bronze.
Maybe it was just determined that iron
scarcity,
was easier. I just thought
like,
iron
copper.
Was a more like rigid, like that just
Both.
Like its consistency was better.
It was better. They got better at working with stuff, and it was easier to find than copper or bronze.
Sure, I mean that's how tools work.
Yep.
Like you make a tool and then use that tool to make
a
better
tool.
Yeah.
Have you played Minecraft? That's exactly what happens. You punch those trees and then you make an axe,
that's
a
how,
wood axe, and then you make the iron.
That's how human civilization started. Our ancestors 20,000 years ago punched those trees until.
And they got experience.
Fell out.
Kids
historical
don't
document.
Mine.
That's what Minecraft is.
Kids don't play Minecraft anymore. They're all playing Fortnite.
Don't they? Do they?
I mean, I'm sure some kids are playing Minecraft. Like, I don't think it's gone. It's just not the thing right now.
Well, yeah. Fortnite, man, mm-hmm. is the thing.
Shrug.
Kids.
Youths.
Yeah, damn kids. I wonder if we'll get there for, like, other, like... Because ultimately, Fortnite is, like... It has part of the construction element, and it is still a shooter. Like, I wonder if we'll get there where, like there is a MOBA that is, like, what if Dota 3 is the next big thing?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that'd be fucked.
Yeah. We're all doomed.
It would be, like, prove how out of touch I am. Like, that would be the, like, the video games that have been in vogue are at least things that I could touch base with, but, like, I feel like real-time strategy games and MOBAs are, like, the two genres where I'm never going to cross that line, and...
I feel like it's got to always be something that you can just take an 8-year-old, put him in front of it, and they'll figure it out in 30
yeah.
seconds.
That would make sense, right? You'd think.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's been a weird thing. I'll do this tangent, and then we'll talk about
Great.
Some other video games specifically.
Tangent!
But,
bring it on.
It's still about video games. As we've done demos for our stuff, you know, the games we've been working on are 2D, and they're designed more like games of the like 16-bit era on. So sometimes when you get children of a certain age, and you know they might not have been raised in households where their parents had some affinity for games like that, it's very interesting to watch them play those games. Because they still, like, every single person on Earth has still seen, like, a few frames of Super Mario Brothers at some point. So when you put it, like, jumping in a video game, like, they get that. But specifically, like, watching them fiddle with the controls with something that they clearly haven't played, like, a ton of or any of. And some of them, like, it's the same, like, I remember two or three times at Maker Faire this last time, it was, like, some kid playing, and then one of their, like, friends or siblings or whatever was like, I can't believe you're so bad at this. You're so good at Fortnite or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they said they did that. They were like, mm-hmm. You're good at video games. Why aren't you good at this video game? So there is definitely, like, a, you know, you have to learn how to do everything from scratch at some point. And those genres are different enough that, like, if you have grown up from age of, like, 4 or whatever, primarily navigating 3D environments and games that work that way, like, playing something that is significantly different than that still throws you off your game.
I'd never considered going from, you know, being adept at a 3D platformer 3D or whatever, 2D. And then going backwards to, the 16-bit era.
Because
that should be easy, but yeah, maybe it's not. I don't know.
But yeah, exactly. In practice, maybe not so much. Because, again, the dividing line is literally just, like, I think getting a feel for it, like, getting, like, a tactile feel for it in terms of the controls and stuff. Because it's not like they haven't, like, because they all, you pretty much get the same, like, oh, it's like Mario or whatever, right? Which, like, yeah, some it's a little like Mario. At some level, all games are a little like Mario. so they have been exposed to it before, but maybe have not put in a ton of hours themselves. So I just think that's really interesting. It's been fun to see that sometimes. Because usually they have positive opinions too once they get in there a little bit. But it is more of a learning curve, like right down to. No, that one's the jump one. That's the one you push to make the guy go up.
A lot of times they don't even know that, though. Like, watching people try and navigate, like, around a controller. Like, because, I mean, we're just using 360 controllers, which are fairly standard. Like, there's nothing super weird about them. They're,
well,
like,
yeah, that's... But still, like, for all of its faults, Nintendo did have something right with the Wii. And that,
no,
like,
no, yeah.
If you,
like,
take a bunch of buttons off the thing, then...
Because, like, people are idiots, but it's just, like... They try literally everything except, like, the face buttons or the left stick most of the time. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Those are, like, the high... Like, you'd think, like, maybe I'm just, like, hardwired into using controllers.
Because, I mean, you, like, had a lot of experience. Like, you...
True. But, like, I know, like, where to look. Like, you look, like, top down. Like, that's a fairly standard... No, but they go for, like, the right stick and the fucking D-pad, like, all the time. And it's like, bro. Bro.
You've been there for, like, almost the whole history, Lorraine. Like,
I mean, I've basically, like, played the whole history.
You've lived the evolution of man, but, like, with video game controllers. So instead of, like, a chimpanzee or whatever, it's, like, an NES pad.
Please, in television.
Whatever,
it's the oldest thing I've played. That wasn't the first
thing.
That's
a fucking shitty controller right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It is.
Yeah, those all old pre-Nintendo controllers were not built to stand the test of time.
Yeah. It's like both...
It was good enough for Shark, and that's what
fucking
matters.
Yeah, the
Intellivision
controller is, like, both a total piece of shit, but also, like, completely ingenious. Because it did come out in a time when, like, the rules hadn't been written yet. So, like, it wasn't like... They didn't just, like, take the Atari joystick and rip that off and call it a day. They, like...
It's got, like, the Steam controller, like, rotary
dial. Yeah, it's
dial.
Got, like, a really weird, like, shitty, like, it's almost, like, halfway between a D-pad and, like, the world's shittiest, like, joystick.
Yeah. And then it's got, like, 0 to, like, 1.
Yeah,
nine.
Like, an actual number right. keypad.
It's also a TV remote.
But the coolest thing about that was games came with, like,
yeah,
slot-ins for that.
The inserts.
Like, to put
right.
over, like,
yeah.
so they give you, like, these are, like, press these buttons and you can do all the stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's the smart part of it. Because, like, right, when you look at it naked, it's just, like, a numeric, like, like touch-tone phone.
Hello?
Like, yeah.
Hello,
1 through 9 or 0 through 9 keypad.
It's corded to the
thing.
But,
yeah, they had those plastic inserts where you slot it in there, and then that either becomes, like, oh, here, they're arrow keys. Like, oh, this is how you move around, because it shows
it right
on the thing.
Right, tells you what those buttons
all
do.
Yeah. Smart.
It's clever. I like it.
Not clever.
Shark.
I think those were attached to the console too, like the Famicom.
Yes, they definitely were.
So
they had like
too far from
phone
your TV.
Cord, like spirally.
The 6-foot cord.
I think
it even had that old telephone curly cord to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was curled.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, did you live in a house that had an Intellivision at some point?
No. My grandparents never even had one. I just don't think I've ever played one, actually. I've just seen and heard about them.
Sure. I was just wondering, because I have one, like, from my... It was my dad's.
Yeah,
like,
my dad had one.
He had it before we were born, so it ended up being one of the first things we played, just because it was already here. But I was just wondering, because I don't think I've ever met, like, three people who I already knew in life, all who had touched an Intellivision, like, right. When it was sort of in, like...
I can't be in those ranks, I'm sorry. No, they had an Atari 5600, or 5200.
Sure,
that's right on. What we started on, basically.
Neat.
Playing Pengu and Joust and Pac-Man and whatever.
Nice. Bad versions of Pac-Man.
And weird, the, yeah, copies of Pac-Man.
Weird, fucked up, like, horizontal versions of Pac-Man. Actually, the later versions might have been better than, like, the 2600 one.
Yeah.
Was
bad. Oh, yeah, the 2600 one, I think, is legendary for just being the shittiest.
That's the one.
Ever, right? Now, the 5200 one is pretty much Pac-Man.
They sure. figured it out by that point. They had better hardware, and they had a wagon.
The 2600 one wouldn't have even passed for a calculator game.
Right. Oh, can't ride boobs in Pac-Man for the
20- I want to say that one's famous. They made more cartridges of that Pac-Man 2600 than there were Atari systems to play them.
Yeah,
that sounds like a familiar statistic. Mm-hmm. I could believe that.
I believe it. And again, that's like the hubris, right? Of we're going to sell so many of these consoles, like Pac-Man is going to light the world
on fire.
Everybody
votes Pac-Man.
Yeah,
Pac-Man,
who doesn't like Pac-Man?
Fever.
You got 2 weeks to get it out. That's about how long it takes to make a product, right?
Oh, man. Those were the days, sort of.
Those were days.
Different times, for sure.
They were days.
Oh, anyway, there are other video games that exist.
Are
certainly
there?
Certainly more modern ones than Pac-Man for the...
Are you sure?
Pac-Man World.
Whoa.
Pac-Land.
No.
Two.
No. I still, after we went to that arcade over the weekend, I still want to play Pac-Man Championship Edition.
I mean, like, you can at any point.
I know.
It's just kicking around.
It's been a while. I wouldn't want to play for like a long amount of time. Just to
I
play
mean,
it
that's
again.
A game that's built to be played in like 15-20
yeah,
minute chunks.
Fits
just
and
do
starts.
A run or two, and then you move on with your life.
We really need to go back to Pac-Man Versus. That was the peak of Pac-Man to me.
Yeah, we should try to wrangle
dig up the old GBAs.
Yeah, we should try to play a little bit of that and a little bit of Four Swords Adventure, because
yeah.
those are the two games that use those things.
And
I have enough cables.
Crystal Chronicles.
I don't think I have enough
Game Boys. We've got a couple.
I don't think I have enough Game Boys, but I did have like a full set of four, like a four of the Link cables.
I mean, I have an SP.
I don't know if we have the AA batteries to facilitate it.
Yeah, we'll see.
You can hook those into GBA players, right?
That's a good question.
I haven't looked at
four TVs
within. We can link into the fifth TV.
I feel like
within 6 feet of each other.
I feel like the Game Boy or the Game Boy, yeah, the Game Boy players themselves would be harder to come across than the AA batteries for them.
Mm-hmm. True. I mean, but I know where mine is.
Sure. Yeah.
I wonder if someone saw that.
I'm guessing you had yours
on the emulation front yet.
Mm.
Like, do you think there's like a GB, like they've accounted for, like there's a Game Boy emulator that
disc?
Can like plug into a copy of Dolphin you have running? And
man, I have no idea.
That'd really be something.
It would be something.
Oh, anyway. Yeah.
Features now, thanks to science.
You should play some Pac-Man Championship Edition if you want to. Say the word, and I'll...
The word.
I actually plugged some of that stuff
Stop
in.
Stop what we're doing. Turn on Pac-Man.
Yep.
I'll get there in a second, but I replugged some of those old consoles back in that, like, some of them had been unplugged, like the 360. So that's a place you could play Pac-Man Championship Edition, but...
It's true.
If Lorraine, have you actually been playing anything else that you'd like to throw out there for the floor to be debated? Possibly filibustered?
I don't remember if I really talked about it
just
on here.
Just missed out of hand.
That's right.
Damn. This might be. Both my things, actually. I don't remember if I talked about it on here, but I started playing a little Tales of Berseria like a week or so ago.
Still technically the latest in the
yes,
Tales of
it is
series.
The latest.
Bring me up to date on like the timeline of Tales games.
Oh, there's been so many. But that one's not new,
I mean, honestly,
right?
Not really,
Did
though.
That come out last year or 2016? I'll look it up.
I don't remember.
So it's a current generation game.
Yes, it is on the PS4. It is the second PS4
Tales
game.
It's not even the first Tales game on modern consoles.
It's the second. Do you actually want me to give you a list, Kyle? Because I might have it in my head.
No, I don't. Not one bit.
Okay. Well, I had... So this game is kind of like a it takes place in the same world as the last game, which isn't necessarily the most common thing for Tales games, but it's so far in the past that it's not really connected.
Okay.
It's just a similar-ish world. As I was very skeptical going into the one right before this one, Zestiria, just because they had changed a lot about the combat and just moving up to a new gen. There were a lot of changes, so I was like, oh, I might not like this. I ended up liking it a lot, finishing it, all that jazz. So I get into Berseria. I already wasn't super sold on it because I didn't like a lot of the character design going in. And I ended up playing it for I waited a while. When did you have a date when this came out?
It came out in January of 2017 in America and August 2016 in Japan.
So I just played it now. It's been sitting around basically since then. We might have got it on sale or something after it came out.
But it's been out for about 18 months-ish?
A year, a year and a half or so. And I could not get into it. This is not the first Tales game this has happened to me in. It also isn't the most violent reaction I've had to a Tales game. That goes to Graces, which I don't like at all. But it was just it was really bland. The story and characters were kind of interesting. I would have kind of cared to see where it went, but I didn't feel like I was accomplishing anything. Combat wasn't fun. The worlds were really empty, and I was just running back and forth to the same three places constantly. So I ended up giving it up after 3 hours, which is shorter than my playthrough of Graces, but it had a child prologue. So I wanted to see through that to see if it maybe got better. Turns out it didn't. I didn't play more of that game, which is unfortunate because I like the Tales of the series.
I think it's just weird. No, go ahead.
I mean, I like the series and it bums me out that...
I would be bummed out if I bought the new Fire Emblem game and hated it and had to put it down after 3 hours. Yeah. I get where you're coming from there.
Because obviously I haven't played all of them because there's a lot that actually haven't come out here. Most of those are kind of spin-offy, so I don't really count them all that much. But the vast majority, more than I haven't liked them, I've liked the Tales games, and it was just kind of a bummer. Because then we've got remastered Tales of Vesperia coming out at some point, either later this year or early next year. And I really like that game. That was a 360 game.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to playing that again.
It's just this is probably true of all games, but I'll go ahead and generalize it to
do it.
RPGs and JRPGs specifically.
Lay it on me.
But I feel especially for games like this, this will be specific to this genre where they're usually at minimum 20 hours long. You're talking a 20 hour plus experience over the course of it.
It's 40.
I feel the best way to get people in and get them to keep playing is to at least really blow the door down with either the story or the gameplay almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
If both of those things are a really soft, if they come to a boil very slowly over the course of say 4 to 6 hours, that just seems a recipe for not wanting to get deeper into the thing.
Right, the argument of, it gets good in 6 or 8 hours doesn't really apply.
Yeah, because
it really never should have flown in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. Persona, I would argue, has usually been strong in, something nuts happens in the first, hour at least of every Persona game.
I would say of the three more modern ones, 3, 4, and 5, 4 has kind of the weakest start. 5 just literally pushes you off the bus.
They shifted the plot of that game or the pace of that game so that it started 3/4 in to show you something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 actually has a pretty quick start too. It's very deceptive because it's kind of it's almost like how 4 starts because your character's in transit, they're moving to the new place, but they get there at night. And night, it's during the dark hour, which is like the big
nighttime.
When the shit goes down in Persona 3, it's at night. So you roll up to this town, and there's just, a creepy moon, a giant tower, and all these fucking coffins everywhere. That game starts off.
Castlevania game?
Huh?
Yeah.
It's like a Castlevania game.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It raises questions.
You have a chick come up to point at you in your dorm with a gun, and you're like, what the fuck is happening, girl? Calm down, you guard.
That's probably happened in a Castlevania game.
Probably. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, it raises questions immediately. And, yes. not, like... boring questions like, what's this girl's name? How long is she going to talk about fruit or whatever bullshit thing? like little slice of life thing, which again, like that stuff has its place, but it's not like the hook. Like you got to put that in like partway through, like once people have kind of...
That's really close to how Grace has started. It was like they were kids and it was very just kind of like, oh, we're just, this is our life. And oh, who's this mysterious girl? But like Tales of Symphonia, it's like... The prophecy is happening literally right now. Your friend is going to the temple. Let's go and see her. And then, like, the world starts literally unraveling before you.
Yeah.
Vesperia, there's, like, some kind of, like, civil unrest. There's, like, a fountain or something that's broken. I don't remember exactly, but... Yuri Lowell is great. I love that guy.
Fountain's broken.
No, I don't remember. It's been so long, and I've only played that game once. I don't exactly remember.
He's like a good bad boy. He's a rapscallion.
Oh, he's an anti-hero for sure. He kills someone and leaves the body in the desert. Yuri Lowell's great. And then, like, at least, Cilia 2 is kind of different because it's like a sequel. But the first Cilia game, it's like there's a break-in at like the science facility or something like that.
Sure.
And your dumb grad student character is going to find this chick who's literally like walking on water and breaking into the science lab. Like those other the other games that I like in this series start off so much faster, and even though the second to last game, Zestiria, the other one for the PS4. Also had a slightly calmer start, somewhat similar to Berseria. It also, like, you were in the middle of a temple exploration. Like, you were doing something exciting as opposed to, oh, I'm waking up in this village with my brother and I have to go and get him medicine. Like,
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Like, opening your video game with, like, having characters you don't know yet do, like, fetch quests for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's literally what it was. Like, there was some combat, yes, but it was more of, like, what was driving me forward in those first 3 hours was point A, point B, point A, point C, point A, point B, A to C, point D.
Sure.
Point B.
Got it.
It was just, like...
Yeah, and again, compare that to, like... Because Persona 5 probably does have the, like... That game has inherited the most from, like, other video games in terms of, like...
Of the Persona series,
yeah, rolling out with both, like, a flashy action sequence that also is, like, a light tutorialization of, like, all the things you're gonna do over the course of that game. And if you take it back to, like, other games that were, like... Granted, they're different because they're lower tech and you had less options, but, like, if you play a Pokemon game... At least the older ones, like we're talking like Gen 1, Gen 2, 20 to 30 minutes in, you've basically started the gameplay loop. Like, you're pretty much doing,
you've
by
got
that
a Pokemon,
point,
you've
all
got,
the things you're going to be doing for the next 20 hours.
Like, you maybe have, like, some Pokeballs, like, you're going, like, you're literally just, like, they're just like, get out of here, just literally leave right now.
Yeah,
like,
so, again, if Persona leads story first for the most part, and games like Pokemon lead gameplay
first.
Yeah.
Although Pokemon is shifting more to story and it's Dragon, but we don't need to talk about Ultra Sun
anymore.
Yeah,
we've had that conversation before, but yeah, the point being that, like, if you're not doing one or the other, it's just, like,
or if you're doing,
get people in.
If you're doing both, but in such a limp-wristed way, that it's just like, why am I here?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But, on a slightly different, but also slightly similar note... I played a little of the technically latest Kingdom Hearts content, which is...
What does that mean?
So it's on... So there's, like, there's three different, like, basically HD collections for the entire series.
Oh, boy.
There's 1.5 Remix, which is the first game and...
Plus stuff.
And, this like, technically the second one, which was a remake of the GBA game. And then, like, I think that one has the cutscenes of the first DS game.
Sure. Let's go with
that. And then there's 2.5 Remix, which has Kingdom Hearts 2, a remake of Birth by Sleep, which is the PSP game, and then the second DS game cutscenes. And then there's 2.8.
Kill me.
Which is the 3DS game remade, a, like, movie that ties in with the mobile game. And then a, like... It's a sequel to the PSP game, but it's also, like, coming up to the end of the first... Don't worry about its placement. But that game, 0.8, Birth by Sleep 0.8, I believe, is its actual title. There might be a prologue something. There's a third subtitle. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
The thing I hate most about that.
It's stupid and dumb and doesn't make literally any sense. I get it. Let me continue.
Okay.
This was, this is the most, like, I believe this is in the same engine that they're making Kingdom Hearts 3 in. So it's like Unreal 4. Like, this is, this was made specifically for the PS4 that has never been seen before. Like, this is completely new content. This is the first, like, new thing since the 3DS game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 3 hours long. It's very, I think it took me like 2 hours to complete it. It's very short. But it's kind of like a, where has this one character been since the PSP game, which is like canonically the first one, like in the series or whatever. And that got me hyped. I was already hyped for Kingdom Hearts 3, but it got me wanting to play more Kingdom Hearts, which is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And again, like I want to distill down the, like the thing you described to at least the touchstone that I took from it when you booted it up. Because there's all that other like surrounding bullshit of what those collections contain or whatever. Yes. But The thing that product basically is for the most part, which I still think this is mostly true, is what I said when you booted it up, was that it's pretty much like a Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes. Like
that is a good equivalent to what it would be.
Like that was Konami releasing basically a chunk of Metal Gear Solid 5 that was about 3 hours of gameplay and charging like $30 or $40 for it.
But at the very least, this had a complete, like, the 3DS game is actually really big. Like for a 3DS game, it's fairly in depth. Like, it's the best, I would say, outside from the PSP game, it is the best handheld Kingdom Hearts game.
Sure. I mean, I guess that is technically better since it also has another whole game in it.
Yeah, there's a full game in there,
as far as the new content, the truly new content, like that demo thing, it's basically the same thing as...
Well, the movie is also technically new, but it's a movie.
It's Ground Zeroes, where it's like a few hours of gameplay. It's basically, like, I would still sum it up as, like, if Square Enix were less greedy and better at sticking to their production schedules, like that would just have been the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, you could have absolutely have just been the start of that game. But instead we get this, which is like fine, I guess. Yeah, it's whatever. Just weird. They're not the first ones to do something like that.
I honestly think they were kind of like, because the other collections, which they did release in one bundle for the PS4, because I believe the other two were actually first released on the PS3. I think they had just kind of run out of stuff because I think their goal was to get everything available on one platform,
because
Kingdom Hearts has been a fairly frequent, like, it's on like three fucking, like, it's okay. There's like the PlayStation 2 games. There's a Game Boy Advance game. There's 2DS games. There's a 3DS game and a PSP game. So it's like six different platforms or four different platforms or whatever. But now you can literally play all of those games, or at least experience them, because nobody wants to play the DS games because they're fucking awful. they're really fucking bad, and I played both of them to completion.
Oh.
I hate myself, but I love it. They have at least, I give them credit for putting everything on a single platform now. Like, that's good. Like, so you don't have, because like, I'm pretty sure Chain of Memories is actually pretty expensive now. Like, the original Game Boy Advance, or even the PS2 remake. Like, those are not easy things to find. So doing that, even, like, the original Kingdom Hearts and Kingdom Hearts 2, like, they got greatest hits, but I don't know how prolific, like, PS2 games are nowadays. Putting them all out before this big game that's been in, like, kind of hell for the past, like, God knows how many fucking years is smart. But
I mean, it's good that they're all available.
Yes.
Like, it's still, if they're gonna like lean into that, for me personally, again, the path I would have liked them to go down, which I don't think there was like remotely a chance of them doing, but it certainly would have been what I would have preferred.
You're not gonna play the game anyway, so who cares?
That's not entirely true, because if they, like, there's part of me that still wants to play it, but if they had actually, I would have liked to see them do like an even harder version of what Disney has done with, like, the Star Wars Extended Universe, which is pretend none of that shit ever happened and slowly but surely, like, pick and choose the handful of things that were worthwhile out of that canon and, like, reintroduce them into, like, the new timeline that exists now.
So I honestly think if they can...
They could have gone for a hard reboot, even.
I honestly think that might happen after 3. Like,
I mean, maybe.
They have made it fairly clear that, like, that might be, like, the end, quote-unquote.
Sure.
About what I think to be, like, just Sora's story.
Okay.
Because, like, everything, like, they're not, like, every single game has offered something, except 358 over 2 days. That game is garbage. And also Recoded. there was, like, they referenced Recoded, but they've never talked about anything that happens in 358 over 2 days because everyone's memory gets erased at the end, so who fucking cares? Also, it's Roxas and he can go die. But all of the other games have added something to the greater story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that as I hope they realize that it's kind of a disaster. Because
that's,
it is. Because
that's the thing. Because the
and I'm hoping that come three, mm-hmm. that's Kingdom Hearts. Like,
sure.
We've reached the end of this arc or whatever.
Yeah. Because
and then maybe it's like, oh, Sora shows up as like, oh, here's this really old guy that we knew one time. And
yeah, because the thing, the question there that lies for me is,
they visit Mickey's grave or something. I don't know.
like most fans are even like, would cop to it too. Like,
oh, everyone
even
knows it's bad.
It's just that, like,
it's a disaster.
It's a convoluted nightmare. Like the fact that it is essentially impossible to explain without like a 2-hour YouTube video.
Oh yeah.
But that could be either
my
way, right?
My friends who like Kingdom Hearts acknowledge that it's a disaster.
Like, I still like it.
At some point, it became so convoluted that I wouldn't even entertain the idea of starting.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't blame you for not wanting to get in.
Like, and I still like it in principle. Like
I'm like so deep, I can't get out.
And you distill out when you still distill it down to just like stupid anime shit and like,
oh, it is
stupid Disney references. Like, that's lines up with my interests for the most part. But yeah, with the thing with all those other re-releases, it says one of two things. It could be saying, we value all of this as, like, all of this is very important. Each little tiny shitty piece of, like, the mm-hmm. canon where we made stuff convoluted is all, it all matters equally as much, so you need to touch it all if you're really into this.
I mean, it does, though.
Or it could be, we take 27 years to make every video game that we make, so we need as much money as possible, so just put out a product with Kingdom Hearts on it every year and hope that people still give us their, like, 30 to 40 bucks.
I think it might be a little of both, because the fact that they, A, didn't actually remake the DS games and just put them in, like, as basically, like, interactive movies, kind of,
mm-hmm.
like, partially because I think I'm still surprised that they remade the 3DS game. Like, there was a lot of touchscreen bullshit in there. But whatever. I don't need to touch that game again. I never kind of want to. But I think the fact that they did that and weren't as, like, you need to play these, just kind of like, just experience this, we don't care, like, just, eh.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff in here that might get referenced by, like, a character for, like, half a second, so here's all this garbage. I think that's them just trying to, like, okay, we're brushing this leaf pile of Kingdom Hearts that we literally threw over the floor over the past, like, 10 years, like, study this before you jump into it for three.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm really interested to, like, again, to at least, like, I won't make you play, like, the whole thing in front of me if you don't want to, like, you know, stream it, or if you just want to power through it or whatever, but I want to see parts of that game,
yeah,
like, in motion.
I'm assuming most people won't want me to stream it, so, at least our audience.
How long is it?
I guess we don't know.
I'm assuming long.
Probably a good, like, yeah, probably 20 to 30 hours at least, that'd be my guess,
but
hell, maybe not.
I don't mind.
We'll see. But yeah, I am interested
to see
how it... I'll
subject y'all to Star Fox Adventures instead.
Oh.
I'm playing that game on stream at some point. I'm doing it. It's going to happen.
I know which
happen.
One of those I'd rather watch you play by leaps and bounds. But...
Or I'll just play Birth by Sleep on stream to test the waters.
I
want to play that.
You can at least boot it up at some point.
I want to play Birth by Sleep really bad, because I like that game on the PSP, but I'd like to play it on not a PSP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. But
I like Birth by Sleep.
Like, watching you, because I did watch you play that other thing to completion, because that only took you like 2 hours total.
That all thing also.
But
that
still looks like the functional part still looks pretty fun. Like,
yeah,
they've iterated.
I like the combat.
They've iterated on the action combat thing. You were doing air dashes and double jumps and shit. Like, that all is good. So we'll see what the final product, like, we'll see what that game ends up being like, because the core of that idea should still be, like, super marketable and theoretically super approachable if they could just distill it down a little bit. Like, if it's just pointy hair and, like, oh, Aladdin. I like Aladdin. Simba. I recognize that. I get that reference.
And it's basically Kingdom Hearts 1, but that game is so dated, like, control-wise. Like, it's not fun to play.
Oh, whatever. But I'm saying you don't need
you
more
want
than...
some of that experience and slightly less of the frustration, might I direct you to Re-Chain of Memories, because it's basically Kingdom Hearts 1, but it's also like a card game.
It's like you responding to my email about Kingdom Hearts.
That's what they call the remakes, man. It's It was recoded because Coded was a goddamn phone game in Japan. Mm-hmm. I'm not making that up. And they made it into a DS game. Kill me.
Yeah.
End my suffering.
Again, my argument would be that, like... And I don't know if, like, you know, they'll have sales numbers that tell them one way or another whether they're on the right track or not. But, like, if you had commissioned me to be, like, the high concept, like, production manager or whatever for Kingdom Hearts 3, I would have made a game that was...
You would have called everything.
That was basically, like, reset everything down to, like, Kingdom Hearts 1 standards of, like, lunacy in the story department and kept all the gameplay stuff that they'd evolved over time. Like, the combat has been better pretty much every time they've changed it.
I don't think you can do that with as much loose ends as the franchise has. That would just piss too many people off.
But, I mean, then you...
That's what I'm saying after 3. That's why I'm thinking...
Then you just
fix it in a book.
Just J.J. Abrams it and ignore that shit. No. Just like, I don't know, it's whatever you want it to be. I don't know. Sora's Mickey's dad. Who gives a shit? Just get another Keyblade and hit stuff with it. Fuck. Anyway. Are you going to be okay?
That asks a lot of questions.
I knocked her glasses off of her head with that. She's like rubbing her eyes.
Doesn't it all make sense now?
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that so much cleaner?
No.
Anyway.
Yes. And our suffering.
Yeah.
And my suffering.
I want to see you play some Kingdom Hearts 3 when that game is out. Hopefully it'll still hit that release date, which, like, if it's going to get delayed, they have to announce that pretty soon, too, at this point, because it's January, right?
What was the release date? Yeah, January.
January something. So, like, no later than probably, like the latest they could probably announce a delay would be in, like, late November, so... If that comes around and it's still coming out, then I guess it's finally coming out. But
yeah, ship whatever they got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do want to know. And again, there's not a 0% chance I'll ever play that game. But like, I kept as I was watching you play that other thing, I kept thinking in my head what the differences are between that and some of the other stuff that I do play that still has bullshit in it, but that's just different. Like, what's the difference between Destiny and Kingdom Hearts? Because honestly,
Destiny has a super convoluted, crazy story.
Like, I honestly give a shit.
Ever important.
Yeah, exactly. I give about as much of a shit about like the larger Destiny lore as I do about the Kingdom Hearts lore. like that's about equal. But I think that is just the way that they've structured. Like that's Western versus Eastern game design, where most of the bullshit in Kingdom Hearts is in cutscenes that you don't do anything in, and a significant portion of the bullshit in Destiny is
chatter
someone talking
ear.
At you while you're shooting at shit. So yeah,
it was in a grimoire card 8 years ago.
And I don't even think that like necessarily one of those is uniformly superior to the other, but one might be more my speed personally, I guess, at this point.
That's fair.
But yeah, I do want to know what's up with that game, because again, it looks the playing it looks fun, and playing Kingdom Hearts 2 was fun. Like that the combat engine they'd gotten to up to at that point was that game was very fun to play, and a way the Kingdom Hearts 1 wasn't. Like you said, that game is really crusty, and
it's really,
you don't really want to play it today, kind of at all.
Yeah.
If
I never go back to Kingdom Hearts 1, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I might replay 2. I would definitely replay Birth by Sleep, because it's basically like 2
right.
to 1 as mm-hmm. like what like
it's yeah it's another
two,
like
two
it's another solid
one.
Iteration on that combat engine. Like they made the gameplay better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it actually seems like 3 is built off of that more so, that like it's basically a continuation of the Birth by Sleep engine, but maybe slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, they've upgraded every single time, like in the ones that matter.
Yeah,
like combat on the DS doesn't matter when you're talking about console RPGs.
Sure.
Let's just say.
Yeah, that's a game I will watch you play as much of as I can. I'll check it out. I do want to know what's up with it.
Same.
I hope they all die at the end.
That'd be funny if it's just
knows?
Like, what if there's Marvel shit? What if Thanos shows up at the end of that game and snaps his fingers and Sora and Donald and Goofy fade into dust?
I would die. That would be fucking hysterical. That would be hysterical.
So the Thanos just like in front of a giant Walt Disney logo.
instead of the like they're like that statue at Walt Disney World where it's like Walt
it's
holding Mickey's
Thanos.
Hand, it's Thanos holding Mickey's hand. He's like, "Do it, master."
What did it cost?
Save up.
Oh my god.
Thank you, Lorraine.
It was worth it. Perfectly balanced.
Anyway.
Well, I know when I'm making the podcast.
Oh,
picture.
Boy. Yeah, that's... Thank you so much. You did the you took my thought and, like, crystallized it in a way that I really appreciate. Anyway, I think we'll move on.
Yeah, that's all I've really been doing.
Kyle, I know you've played a video game that originated in Japan.
I did. I hadn't thought about that, but...
Segways.
Yeah, finally finished Octopaths.
Woo.
So what did you think of it? Because that's a game that I bought, intended to play, and have not to date booted up once.
There's a lot to say about this game. It's really all over the place.
Lay it on me.
All right. We'll start from the top. It was the Octopath Traveler, which was originally the demo name.
Mm-hmm. And then just became the title.
Right. It was such a weird kind of bad title, and no one ever... But... Anyway, it's a 16-bit styled RPG where you play, instead of a linear story, you have 8 separate characters who you recruit over the course of the game, and they all have their own story, but that's it. They all have their own story. Those stories never really coalesce in the story.
Cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm already getting off track, but I'm going to stick
fair.
With
Do you get what them, this game like... is. Do you get them by like starting the story as one character and having that character run into the other ones, or do you play a little while as like the bard or whatever, and then two hours in it just like shifts your?
Okay, but give me the rundown.
But this game is definitely built to evoke the mid 20, early 30s Super Nintendo player, and it's got these beautiful sprites, like some of the best sprite work I've ever seen in a game, probably the best. Honestly.
Yeah, it always looks really. Everything I've seen
it looks
really
amazing.
Pretty.
Like the way the sprites move, the lighting, the music, it's all like perfect.
Yeah, the 2.5D thing is striking too. Like the fact that it's not just like a 2D game. It doesn't look like a Super Nintendo game, but it has, like you said,
like a
those
sprite diorama, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like
it looks so good from start to finish.
Yeah.
Every part of that game, it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I played it to completion mostly for that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean, it's reason enough.
But, it's a basic JRPG-ish thing. Mm-hmm. It's got your job systems, they learn abilities over the course of the game, and you go to dungeons and you kill stuff.
Delightful.
So it's a little different because each character, they start with a job and that job is locked to them. The pretty basic thief, white mage, red mage.
Sure.
The dancer
mage
dances.
Type stuff. Yeah. But about halfway through the game, say a third, you can unlock a second class where you can use a second one of the other classes. You unlock them one at a time, but you can only use each class once. You can't have 8 white mages.
Okay.
And then you unlock some like upper level better classes later that are pretty broken.
Great.
Which that would work fine, and it mostly works fine, except to learn abilities, like passive stuff for your character, earn extra experience or do more damage when you're at low health, whatever, you learn them through not being your class, but being in your class and spending ability points. So to learn whatever skill, you have to equip that job. But if somebody else has it, you have to take it off of them first and change all their equipment and then change them back and send them back to that job.
So
it was very tedious at times.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of menu navigating to just
It was a bit much.
Yeah.
I will say that the equipment, for the most part, was pretty good, like pretty simple, simplified.
Okay.
There weren't like leather armor, heavy armor, light armor, or whatever. Every character equipped everything,
okay,
with the exception of weapons, and weapons were just based on your class.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's at least a little better.
Yeah, that is definitely less.
The combat gimmick, and this is, I'm sure it's from the Bravely Default people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's basically like Bravely Default 3 in a lot of ways.
Sure,
but. The gimmick is that at the start of every turn, you get, I think they call it a battle point. So you can use a battle point to either attack an extra time or supercharge a move or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stack that up to 4 times. So you can stack up a x4 attack or, some superpowered ultra attack every couple of turns to coincide with breaking down your opponent's defenses, which functions very similar to how it would in Persona.
Okay.
At least in terms of weaknesses.
Yeah.
Every character has a little bar under them, and as you hit them with different things, it'll say, oh, you got them with a weakness, whether it's axe or fire or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they would also have a shield or you need to hit them that many times.
Oh, okay.
A weakness to break their shield, and gotcha. When their okay. shield's broken, they miss a turn and have no defense or lower defense.
Gotcha.
So that's basically how combat goes. You break their shield, and then you unleash all your battle points, and the things die.
Yay.
That sounds all right.
But that's always fun, and they do a good job of alternating, like, the way those encounters, especially boss encounters, play, so that they're not just exactly the same. Like, some of them will summon minions where you can't hit them for weakness while their minions are out. Some of them will shift their weaknesses.
Sure, yeah.
And so on, and some of them will... Anyway, so that's basically how the game is set up. And then, so you start the game, you pick a main character, and what they don't tell you is you're stuck with that main character for most of the game. Once you finish their story, you can take them out. But they can't leave your party until you finish their fourth quest. Every character has four chapters.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so they're basically locked your party for the duration of the game, and that's kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you picked like the bard or somebody you don't actually like. They don't have a hunting utility.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really weird decision, because everybody else can come and go as they please. And
sure, that's interesting.
But so you do your one party, compare party members' little story, and then you can go out into the open world, and all your other that you'll unlock their level 2, and then all the other characters will be on the map, and you can either go to the other characters and get them, or proceed in your level 2. But it scales, the game scales in such a way where you can't really go to the upper levels until you've done all the lower level stuff, which and that's fine to kind of push you to get all the characters.
Yeah, it's one way to gate progress and like not necessarily super like you literally can't do this right now. It's just like this is just too strong for you. But the
problem becomes that the gameplay loop is real tedious for these characters. You show up, you meet them, they have a problem, you go to the dungeon, and then it's over, and you do that 32 times.
Sure. I'm assuming the problems more often than not are there's a building with stuff that you have to kill inside it.
It's a dungeon every time.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of the dungeons look pretty good. Like, some of them are in, like, mansions, some are in palaces, some are in the forest. Like, but they're all basically the same kind of idea for a dungeon.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be so bad, but, I'd say the dungeons take 15, 20 minutes. But each story arc takes, like, upwards of an hour or more. So much pointless talking. And I wish I were the kind of person who could just skip, just skip it entirely.
But nope.
No.
I need this. Damn it.
At least I'm not the person that listens to everything, because they were all mostly voice acted too. And after like an hour, go talk more, less.
Yeah, I was getting to that point in Berseria too, because like a lot of that's voice. And it's just like, you know what? I don't even care. Like, I'm reading. That's fine. Let's just go.
The problem with this game never really escalating outside of each character's individual story is that the grander story never really happens. So most people's stories are range from boring to aggressively dull.
Because it's just mainly like slice of life RPG kind of.
Mostly. Like, they all have their own RPG style problems. And one wants to learn about the world, wants to avenge his kingdom, one wants to avenge their father, that kind of stuff. And none of them on paper are that bad, but it's just so slow to get through it. Every time somebody talks, my brain shuts off. One other thing I forgot to note, every character has a, like they call it a town ability, something you can do in a town area.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the important ones offhand. You can steal from people, you can challenge people to duel, and you can learn about people.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually became a ton of fun to go to random towns and like literally steal from every character in town because they just let you do it. Even children, you could literally children, and they tend to have an overabundance of candy in their pockets. And you just take it.
Yoink.
You can't challenge the children to fights.
Fight that child.
You can challenge old ladies.
Okay, I'm back in.
And it becomes really interesting because you get a lot of cool gear that way. You learn inside stuff about characters that way.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Right. It is actually a real treat to go to the towns and either steal from everybody or try to steal from everybody or duel them or whatever it is, because it's neat.
Goof off and do the thing.
Yeah.
But then you have to go and keep playing the game.
Right. That's right. The worst parts about this game were when I was doing race. Every time I was in combat, it was fine.
That's unfortunate.
How many hours did in total did it take you to finish it?
All told, I think I clocked in about 55. A lot of that I spent just idling in town, not doing anything. It just happened to be on, so I don't have a great number.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Could knock off.
Like, it was what I said about it takes about an hour for each story, and each character is four.
So right, do all that math.
It's not far off from what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then after you've beaten everybody's four stories, and again, they never, I know I touched on this, they never really interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a feature where you can have like a playful banter cutscene where they just kind of say semi-generic things related to what just happened.
Mm-hmm. But cool.
For the entire part, a character's story will never directly involve another character in your party.
Sure.
They'll just be kind of like passive observers.
Right, which makes it a very strange story arc because there isn't one.
Yeah.
The game doesn't really have a larger story or like a larger villain or
anything. Or
problem to push the game forward. But as you play through the game, you start to see like somebody will mention something that somebody else mentioned in a different story, or they'll sort of, I don't want to say echo each other, but you know, there'll
be callbacks.
Something will happen in one, that'll ring against something that happened in another one. And there's an endgame dungeon, which I have to point out, the game does not do a good job of pushing you towards to get it.
Cool.
You have to do two separate side quests that don't have anything to do with each other to completion, and then go to a random spot on the map that it doesn't tell you about.
Oh, God.
I looked it up online because I would have never found it.
Sure.
But it sends you to this last dungeon that's really awesome.
Really unfortunate.
I know. But it's got like your typical RPG boss fights, basically, where you know, they turn into a giant monster and try to take over the world.
Great. Sure.
But in the process of doing it, it sort of reveals at this point in the game how all the stories are connected and were, you know,
why did they hide it?
They were sparked by, you know, the singular set of events before the game started.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's entirely hidden.
What?
Unless you go 60 hours into the game.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's so dumb.
Especially because that's not even like, I feel like in general, that's not even like a throwback to games of that era.
No,
like,
no, it's just
bad game design.
Yeah, that's really weird. Huh.
What?
But I think I said this about Bravely Default years ago when I said it, but the way they built these game system, game engine, it's like they intended it to be broken.
Oh, sure.
It's not as bad in this one, but to beat the final boss, you have to dip mildly into being broken, otherwise you just get steamrolled.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's kind of like old RPG.
Right. You just kind of have to pair the broken combo where you use an item or use an ability to turn on, you turn what is effectively an elixir into a super mega elixir, give all your characters all of the supercharged BP, and then have a different character supercharge himself so he does an attack that does like 80,000 to every character or every enemy, and you're fighting some six-armed monster with, you know, each arm has its own health pool.
Sure.
If you don't kill it, you'll die in like 30 seconds.
God, those are the best kind of boss fights.
Yeah,
it definitely felt like there weren't a ton of options for effectively strategizing that fight, which kind of sucks. But
yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like I don't necessarily have a problem with that, like in general as a design philosophy. But it would be cooler if there were more like branching, like if there were say six broken ways you could kill that thing.
Yeah,
I mean, or there probably are, but some of them are less obvious, I'm sure.
Yeah,
sure.
But that's almost like a like I feel like that's almost like a fighting game evolution thing. Like Street Fighter 2 came out, and they just built that game in such a way that moves chained into each other, and people figured out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, they intentionally built the games to make things comboable. Like I feel like that's the same thing with some of these JRPGs, where the original games didn't necessarily envision that you would put like all these things together in a certain way, such that you would make this insane broken combo. But once people started doing that, they were just like, all right, well, that's fine.
That's the way
let's just set this game up such that, like, that's the meta now, I guess. And yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but...
No.
Like you said, you want it to be just the right level of obtuse. Like, you don't want it to be...
Right, it was weird to me because nothing else in that game was especially difficult until the very, very end.
Mm.
There's a big jump in terms of, you know, what the game expects of you.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't quite ready for it. I didn't say this either. That final dungeon, it's more of a boss rush. You played, like, 9 bosses in a row. Jeez. If you lose, you have to go back to the start.
Oh my god.
It turned into like an hour long attempt.
Oh man.
Fortunately, it only took me like 3.
Uh-huh.
Disgusting.
On the whole, I did really enjoy it. I don't want to give it like a grade or anything, but
right.
But I recommend it. Mm-hmm. Just don't expect anything out of the story.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. But good, right? Good with caveats.
Yeah, maybe pay enough attention to appreciate the stuff at the end game if you go all.
Because
it is, I don't say really interesting, but it's kind of neat to see where all the characters.
Yeah,
connected
just seeing
at the
payoff of something. Like,
yeah,
that's nice.
Right, right. Because that's the only payoff in the game. Everything else, you just finish
nothing else matters.
Little arc, and that's it. You just move on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
8 different people who just happen to live in the same world.
Just like if M. Night Shyamalan made a Japanese RPG.
Ugh. Ugh.
Anyway.
I mean, I guarantee, since this game has sold extremely well, you know,
oh, sure.
There'll be either a sequel or some very similar game, not too far from now.
Right. 9 Towpath Travelers.
I know that at least sold well enough initially that like they were wiped out of physical copies day one, I think, because Brian was looking for one. Because I pre-ordered it or whatever, so it just like showed up because it came in the mail. But Brian was like, I went to the store, I couldn't find it.
Went down to Best Buy and bought it the day it came out.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, that's cool. And again, like, not every game needs to be like, you know,
groundbreaking.
I unapologetically love every single part of it. But I'm glad you enjoyed it more than you didn't overall. Like, it sounds cool. Mm-hmm. I'll still at least get into it a little bit because I want to check out some
so
of that combat
pretty.
Stuff.
It's so much of a treat to play for, you know, however long you feel like playing it, that it's worth it for that alone.
Nice.
I like the boss sprites especially. You're just. Amazing.
Yeah, I will definitely play some of that game. I can't say that I'll beat it because there's so few games that I complete at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't say that about any game. But
so, what I would tell you is either start with the warrior or the mage.
Okay.
The mage. What's his name?
Who cares?
Cyrus.
Right on.
Cyrus has a cool ability. He when he enters a battle, he'll show you one of their weaknesses.
Cool.
And, oh, that's neat.
And he also And he also has, you know, the mage powers are pretty broken just because. They can attack everything where most things can't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Neato.
Good to know. Yeah, I'll take that into consideration. Very cool. Yeah, that sounds pretty neat.
Hmm. I mean, I'm glad they made this game. And I sit here wondering if I just wanted it to be, I wanted Final Fantasy VI again. Like, is that what I really wanted, or do I appreciate it that they at least try something different?
Sure.
Like, a little different. It's similar, but different.
Right.
There are some things that are like taken directly from that game.
Oh,
there's
sure.
There's a scene in an opera where it's set up like exactly the same
Great.
Way.
Oh, that's funny.
The very thing at the end, the end game dungeon, has like the exact same altar that Kefka stands at the end. Like,
yeah,
come on.
That's,
come on.
That's funny. Yeah,
right. It's like, are you copying it or are you doing like a homage? Because I can't tell.
What are you exactly trying to imply with this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know for certain, but I would suspect that if they had done something like that, like, you would have had probably a very similar outlook on that game that could have been, like, your complaints would have been a little different. Like, if they had just, they literally just made, like,
right.
another Final Fantasy VI, you probably would have been like, oh, I like this for the most part, but all they did was make another Final Fantasy VI, so.
And, you know, you're not going to beat the original.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't
that
know
sounds.
What they want.
That sounds okay, though. That sounds like a pretty good time. Honestly, I'm gonna give that a shot.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And depending on how far you play into it, I would watch like a stream or YouTube video of the final dungeon.
Oh, right
it's,
on.
It's a spectacle.
Yeah, I'll probably do that whenever I like have determined that I will not pick it up again.
Your
like, yeah, exactly. Once I like
right.
once I log in, probably I'm gonna guess between like 10 and 20 hours.
Sure.
I'll just like. Look up some of the more interesting shit that's still in there.
You definitely don't have to do every chapter character. Once you get like 6 or 7, or if you just do a medium amount of grinding, you can do whatever character stories you want to do.
Gotcha.
And just screw the rest.
Mm-hmm.
This just became 4 Towpath Traveler.
Indeed.
They gone.
The one thing that, and again, the game never really cares like what you do for your party.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do like things where, you know, in Final Fantasy VI where it split up the party and make you do different things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, until the very last fight where you have 2 phases and each phase uses a different half of your team. Which I liked because, you know, it made you make 8 loadouts, but at the same time, if you didn't know about it ahead of time, you could have been just playing like a Pokemon game where your Charizard killed everything for the entire game.
Oh yeah.
Six underleveled things that were useless.
Whoops.
Interesting. Very cool. Right on.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's
also Destiny came out.
Yeah, I think we'll note that Destiny came out and just talk about that the next time we convene, because then we'll all have had more time to play it.
I could focus a little bit on the Gambit mode, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
They did a preview of it a few days ago, but anyway, it's probably the coolest, I guess, mode I've ever played in a game. But the basic concept of it is it's a PvE type encounter where you fight bosses on the timer with an element of PvP because you're doing it against another team, and you know every so often one of your players goes to the other side to wreck shit up. It's a ton of fun just because you have to collect orbs by killing enemies and time them to return them to a charge base or whatever, a bank, and that obstructs the other team and also progresses your win condition. So you have to strategize a little bit about how you want to do that and when you want to drop off a 10 stack or a 15 stack or send somebody over or whatever. And it's such a fun mode because it has all these little moving parts, but at the same time it's got a little bit for everybody because a lot of people, I don't play PvP, I don't want to fight people, or I don't play much PvE, I just want to do PvP or whatever. It's for everybody.
Yeah, I'm right. And at the end of the day, you're at least contributing by just like killing the thing in front of you that is hostile.
If all you want to do is shoot Cabal forever, you can be very productive in this mode.
Right on.
Yeah, that sounds...
It's a completely unique experience, and I had a lot of fun with it, and I look forward to doing a lot more of it.
Yeah, that sounds neat, because it does sound like it is an evolution of, like... Because I had always wanted them to add something like that, like the Horde modes that were getting into, like, Gears of War and Call of Duty and stuff, where it would just be, like, these challenges of, like, go in with a group of people and fight waves of enemies. And it sounds like it's sort of like that, but also an evolution of that. Because there's even, like, that competitive element that you just described with, like, you're playing against another team and there's, like, some amount of interaction at certain points in the match. Like, yeah, that sounds neat.
It's wild. Like, you should definitely do some of it with us when you get a chance.
I will, for sure. Yeah, at some point I'll hop in and we'll play a little bit of that. Do you know if the... Is that a matchmake? Can you queue in and just play with randos you want?
You can queue in, and so far it seems like that's probably not a good idea. I don't know. I won't say, like, the percentage of groups that are, a four stack or just random people queuing, because I don't actually know. But I do know that when we were queuing as a four stack, we were wrecking face.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I assumed. Like, and the fact that I asked the question was like, well, I'm not sure if it should be just like, if they should let randos queue up and just play this together, considering how bad the experience will be if you fight people who aren't doing that.
The problem, because if you do it like that, then a lot of people just can't have access to
And I mean, at the end of the day, that's the same problem with like other Destiny PvP modes. Like,
they've never been able to solve that problem, right? And even other modes where... Well, we're against five people on the same team, and we're going to get rolled. I'd imagine it wouldn't be that hard to have, a solo queue and a team queue, but...
Sure.
But it's never existed, and it has been a pretty persistent problem for them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how, if at all, they try to, like, still iterate on some of that stuff, but...
Right.
Yeah, I do think it probably, in the grand scheme of things, makes more sense to leave it open just so people can, try it at their leisure. Because you're going to, in the same way that you're going to run into... a lot of shitty matches randomly, you'll have some good ones. Like,
you'll be on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
Just,
if you queue up enough times, you'll eventually land in, like, a relatively balanced, like, game state and then have a pretty good time of it, I'm assuming. But
I haven't played a ton of Gambit solo, maybe one game, but just over the course of playing a lot of regular PvP solo, it doesn't come up that often where you're against a stack of players that just destroys you.
Sure.
I mean, it sucks when it happens, but... It doesn't happen nearly enough to put me off from playing.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, they could... I don't know if they'd ever try to do this, but if they fudge with some of the numbers on the back end to balance that mode out more, like, that could be an amazing way to try to tweak some of that stuff. So maybe,
said that they were going to do that at one point, where they said, if you were going to be in a team of four, it would weight you a little heavier on the matchmaking side, so you put you against better players, but...
Oh,
I don't
sure.
think that ever actually happened.
Yeah, I even mean from like a non-player standpoint. Like, that's a mode that you can weight just by tweaking. Like, what if your team? What if you're on a team that's on like a win streak, and as your win streak progresses, the mob enemies that you fight get slightly stronger, but your drops also get slightly better. So if you're really good, the game becomes harder for you, but the potential rewards are also greater.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a cool thing.
They've started dabbling in things like that. They introduced winning and losing streaks in the last season, but it did not play out well for a variety of smaller reasons. They never impacted the game itself. It was just if you won more, you won more.
Right.
Or if you lost more, you lost more.
Yeah, right. Because the point being, like that, I think that's just a fascinating thing. Because that's the thing you can't do in the regular PvP modes. Because you're 100% at the mercy of just like, well, these are the players, and they're fighting some other players, and their relative skill levels are going to determine how this thing goes. And you just try to sort them as best you possibly can. But if you did something like that with this mode, you could maybe make the play experience better for everyone overall. Without necessarily having to worry as much about who's going to fight who. Like, you can balance it in a way that's not totally dependent on which players happen to be online and ready to fight which other players at any given time in the game.
I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, take another swing at matchmaking and just tweak the mode in various ways, since this is a completely new thing even for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that does sound really
neat. We'll see.
And that's, like, the biggest, like, because, I mean, there's a ton of story content, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the biggest new thing. It's, like, unprecedented in the game right now, right? And then, like, in a couple weeks, there's going to be, like, more raid stuff and...
Yeah, I think the raid is in, like, 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, that all sounds all right. I'm definitely going
to... You're right. There's a ton to talk about there. We should probably save it for another time.
That will push off. Yeah, I don't want to get into the weeds on the whole expansion in its entirety. And I haven't even... So you go ahead. If you've got anything else to lay out about Destiny, go for it.
It's fun. I like it.
I also
like it. Destiny, good.
Yeah, I'm going to play a little of that tonight. Like, as soon as we get off, cool. I'm going to play a little.
All right, we'll be on.
Yeah, I'm going to start the campaign at least. Oh, or like
if you just want to do the campaign by yourself, I understand.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's what I did every time any of the stuff came out. Yeah. Was I at least started that and, like, almost completed myself. So I'll probably do that first and then go from there.
Campaigns... definitely meatier than either of the last two expansions.
Okay, right.
That's
on.
Good.
And I know I'm still behind the curve on, like, gear and stuff.
It probably took as soon as you hit level 50, the game basically rockets you to level 500 gear.
Okay, all right, right on.
But so that's where basically all of us are right now. It took me, I don't know, 7 hours, 8 hours to finish the campaign proper.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely want to get into it because that'll segue me into what I've been up to, which is.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I totally intended to play some Forsaken. Like, I was like, I'm gonna play some Destiny 2 tonight. And then, like, in the lead up to that, our other friend Brian was streaming, so we were watching him play God of War. And while he was doing that, I was like, I just need to tidy up a little bit. Like, basically, I finally crested a hill of. As anyone out there who has owned an entertainment center knows, if you plug a lot of things into it, at some point. It's just like a mess of cables that you're afraid to touch.
A ratcheting of cables.
Yeah, yeah. Like you just look at it and it's a pile of wires and you don't know which one does what, but you just know that they're all important. And I was basically at that point.
They're all working until you touch it.
Yeah, I was basically at that point and I was like, because I was looking over there, basically I needed to like plug in the PS4. I was like, I'll play downstairs on the big TV. And I was just like, I'm not doing anything for the next 2 hours. I should really do something about this.
Yeah, because I was always afraid to touch it.
I slowly but surely, while we had like his stream on the TV, I just like meticulously unplugged every single thing one at a time and kind of like set it in its own pile of like, all right, well, this is where this is all the VR shit and this is the Super Nintendo Classic, and I just kind of like portioned it all mm-hmm. off and cleared all that shit off and like
all the dust is gone.
Wiped a bunch of the dust off of it, and then I plugged it in. A much more, like, organized, like, I did it from scratch such that, like, now there's some order to it, as opposed to before, where it was just, like, I would get or move a new thing into place and plug it in, and that would be that.
How many HD outputs do you have on that TV?
It has two HDMI inputs, and I have a splitter plugged into one of them that takes five more, so that's basically full.
I was just wondering, because, like, I have this TV here, and I routinely run through four or five things that use HDMI, and so I've got three cords on there or three outlets on it, so it becomes an issue of how do I unplug what where so that I can do the thing I want to do.
That splitter is really helpful. We have another one in the streaming room too. And it makes, like, granted, we have, like, a few other things, because we have some of the older consoles, like, running through a Framemaster, which outputs to HDMI. But it's just kind of like, if you literally just plug in one HDMI port, it should just appear on the TV.
Yeah, like, it works pretty well for the most part.
We've got some cables.
I got those at Monoprice, I think, online for like $30 or $40.
The splitters.
Yeah, the splitters. Mm-hmm. The other thing about those is they also sell. Well, there's like the hub, which is like that's a like multi-in single out, and then I do have a couple splitters that are like. You put a single input in, and you get two duplicates of the same signal out.
Yeah.
And those we actually use for streaming because it's easier to just put one directly into the PC and then one on the TV, so it solves that problem. And also, they strip the copy protection on the video. so if there's content that they don't want you to stream, you can totally just stream it by doing that.
In your face, Persona 5.
Yeah, exactly.
I laughed at that notification every single time.
Does it still do that?
Oh, yeah. No. You can't still can't use like the share button or anything.
That's
like,
funny.
I liked when we booted up Overcooked 2 the other day, and the first thing is feel free to share, spread, and record any of this for
right,
anything.
Yeah, which is good, and I've seen other games do that too, but it's still smart to just like for games of that size to just be like, hey,
if somebody wants to put your content out
exactly, like if you want to advertise our games, like we will be grateful for you advertising our games.
At some level, I understand them not wanting to like have the story spoiled or whatever, but
and
like
luckily Overcooked's not that kind
of
game.
Well, no,
also.
I meant more of like Atlas's. Yeah, it's just kind of like come on, like
in this era, that if you're in this business, you accept that reality.
Yeah, like
somebody's gonna do it, and you're just annoying everyone else to try to stop them.
Come on.
I'm sorry, Sakurai. All the cutscenes were on the internet 5 minutes after the game came out. Mm-hmm. No, before the game came out.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, that's so I got up to that, and then basically that took me close to as long as I thought it would, like maybe a little longer.
You were at that for a while.
But when I got to that point, I was like, all right, well, now all the stuff like on the TV is in good shape, but I had like I had at least at one point intended to hook up everything that could be plugged in to Ethernet over there through the Ethernet, and to date I'd only run one Ethernet cable with like no switcher out from the thing, like and into the living room. And I even had bought like a hub.
Yeah.
Like I got that online like 2 or 3 months ago that I was like, all right, I can finally plug everything in here. And then I never did it. It was just in a box in the closet. So I was like, well, now that I've gotten all this shit cleaned up, I might as well do that too.
Right. You're on a roll.
So yeah, so I took the old Ethernet cable and I tested it because this was the other part of that purchase was twofold. One part was I bought a hub and a couple more shorter Ethernet cables to plug everything into it. And the second part was I bought some Cat5e cables because their speed is better. Because the first thing I did when I started was I plugged in the original cable, which is Cat5, which is technically a different spec. Like it's just I think like the quality assurance is lower. Like they don't test the tolerance as high or whatever. But I plugged it in and got like 120-ish megabits down, which is good, but it's not close to like topping out our internet speeds.
Because
that's the whole point of wanting to upgrade was like, when I got those other cables at the time, they were cheap, shitty Chinese ones. And I got them on Amazon for like $20 for like 3 of them. And I was like, why would I need internet that goes faster than 100 megabits a second? That's nuts. That's like light speed fast. And then sure enough, like around a year ago, we got way faster internet than that. So I was like, I should probably upgrade these fucking cables. Cause to date, the only computer that had been running like at those kind of speeds was my desktop because it's the one that's right underneath the router. So I just run the one short better cord from it to there. So yeah, I took that old cable and ran it back and then ran the new one. And immediately it was like more than twice as fast, like switching from one cable to the other. So I was like, all right, now we're talking. And then I plugged in all that stuff via Ethernet. And then after I was done with all that, I was like, well, we got all these other video game consoles in the other room in the back, and I should do the same thing because it's equally a disaster.
Yeah, it's
and so
it's
that's how I spent
bad.
The rest of my like Destiny Forsaken launch night. I was like, I'll just fix the other room too.
As long as you remembered to download the game,
I did. Yeah, well, that's the other thing is I turned it on and just let it download while I was doing all that stuff, and it finished like I got done with everything, and it was like 4 a.m. I was like, I could play Destiny, but then I didn't. Then I just went to bed.
That was about when I was calling it.
But I like thought about it for a second. I was like, I could get an hour or two in. Like I could play a little bit and then
this?
Just collapse. But overall, it felt good to like tidy all that stuff up.
I'm also at the same sort of age in my life where, you know, if I sit down and clean, accomplish a small houseworking project, it makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
100%. And I've always kind of felt that way to some extent. Mm-hmm. But yeah, especially now that, like, watching something that was a mess and that you let become a mess, because, again, it never at any point had to become that bad. No. It was my fault for letting it slide.
I mean, it was also partially mine because I just didn't.
But it's way better now. And some of that stuff I just, like, straight up unplugged and, like, like, there was a whole nother, like, when I'm going into the other room, there was, like, two or three other cables, like, there were two or three HDMI cables that weren't being used, and one whole Ethernet cable that wasn't actually even being used. I had just run it, and then it was just there, so I even got that stuff out of the way just so it would be, like, less of a clutter. So, yeah, now it's much better, and I will reward myself tonight by playing some Destiny in a few minutes.
Until 4 in the morning.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, that was very good ultimately. And again, like you said, it's kind of zen. Like, you're just kind of in the zone. Right. It's a great way to, like, clear your head because you're not, like, mulling anything over. You're just kind of, like, mindlessly doing the task at hand of move this cable here, wipe this dust here, like Lorraine said. Yeah, it was good. Those kind of chores are kind of are satisfying in a way. Like, it's not, it just, especially
the
when you
of home ownership.
Yeah, well, especially when you know that, like, you'll be done at the end. Like, it's not the kind of things like the dishes or the laundry where there's always going to be more dishes and laundry. Like, that, those feel more like milestones. We're like, all right, it has a current state and a future state.
You're just resetting the timer on the mobile game that is laundry.
Yeah, something like that.
Come back in 3 days and
reap
this reward.
But yeah, that's what I did with my intended Destiny time. And then the last thing that I'll share, because I to commit to myself that I will eventually play this game too, and then we'll probably call it a show, is I booted up, and I told this to Phil, I think, and Doug, before we hung out, like, before you were off on Sunday or whatever. I bought Into the Breach on my Switch, because it finally came out on that.
Which one's that?
And
it's like the Advance Wars kind of game that came out. Like,
well, it's more like, yes and no.
Advance Wars-esque.
Yeah, it's like it's a tactical game where you play with mechs on, like, these set boards. Where,
it's very puzzly.
Yeah, like, it'll basically give you a map that's roughly a screen large, like one screen large, and a set of opposing mechs.
I saw Wade playing this one time.
Yeah, Wade played it and talked about it a while back, because it's not new. It came out a couple months ago.
It's from the FTL devs.
Yes.
But yeah, you'll get on a map that's basically preset up with some opposing mechs and some of your own mechs, and they're kind of already laid out on the board, and then you just essentially have to figure out, like Lorraine said, the puzzle of how do you...
Because you can
them.
See, like, a few turns ahead or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know too many more of the details.
But, like, I'm sure when I get into it, like, it seems like the thing kind of thing that's right up my alley. But when I booted it up, like, I was like, I want to play this for maybe, like, a half an hour. I just want to get started. I'm going to get my feet wet. And upon launching it, I was hoping for something where there would be, like, a soft, like, you know, you hit start and then here's how you play. And instead, that game starts with just, like, you click start, and it immediately loads up a menu with, like, here's, like, four different configurations of mechs, and they all do different shit, and if you want to know all the shit they do, you have to read the descriptions of all the moves they have. And then, like, I got one or two menus deeper than that, and then it was like, all right, you ready to start? As soon as I got to that point, I was like, maybe later. Because I truly, I just wanted a thing, like, I would... At that moment, for the amount of time I was ready to spend right then, I just wanted, like, to get introduced to the game and just, like,
starting battle.
Yeah, play right. I wanted to play one fight and then, like, know that I'd probably come back to it in, like, a day or two. And unfortunately, the way that they tutorialized in there, which, like, at least right now looks like very minimally, that was not what I got in that amount of time sitting down with it. But I do intend to go back and play it for reals at some point. But yeah, I was like, I just wanted to play, like, I want to play the introductory mission in this game. And instead it was like, do you want to read a bunch of text and then make a bunch of decisions?
Maybe.
It's like, no, I don't want that at all. Not yet.
Here you go.
You know, the speed difference on a large mech versus a medium sized mech.
Right.
Consumption.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
But yeah, from hearing Wade and other people describe that game, it still sounds awesome. So I do still want to play some of it, but.
It looks neat.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I'm watching that video right now.
Lots of other stuff in the queue. But I will definitely play it.
Speaking of getting stuff out of the queue, though, I did finish Okami last week.
That's true.
On stream.
Good job.
It's a good game.
It is.
It kind of snuck up on me, like, the ending. Like, I was
Because we weren't sure when it ended. And then we were playing, and we were like, oh, I guess it's basically over.
We get to the fight with Yami, and it's like, oh, we're here. Mm-hmm. Oh, hello. I just fought, like, the other six bosses in this game all again. Oh, okay. We're doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
I could have sworn there was one more thing, but...
It needed that Zelda element where at some point in the game someone says, okay, now you need the six stars of the Astral Moon to complete the game.
Uh-huh. Go back to all the dungeons a second time. And...
I mean, that's kind of what I did, just not through the whole thing.
Right.
And I mean, I'm glad it didn't do that. Like,
mm-hmm. Right, it's definitely not a direct copy of his ways, yeah. For better or worse.
Because it almost even is, like, it's deceptively linear if you kind of look at it. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't really,
Sour
like...
Sour Zelda games!
No, you're not wrong.
Uh-huh.
But, like... It's a very nice, big, open world, but mm-hmm. you are kind of like, you're very rarely retreading, like, familiar ground constantly.
Yeah, the path forward is still A to B to C. It just mm-hmm. looks like it has more turns than it does.
Which, I mean, it's fine. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do in those open spaces.
I would consider that good game design.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's not a negative.
Yeah, no.
If anything, it probably is a positive.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, there's a lot to do in those spaces if you go and look. I just didn't.
Because mm-hmm.
I wasn't, like, just super didn't. Interested in finding all the, like... The like guys with bounties on them, or like
mm-hmm.
sniffing out all the secrets or whatever.
Yeah,
buying all the moves from the old man. But I really like that game. I'm glad I actually beat it. I'm still not sure if I did beat it all the way through last time or not, but I did now. I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Haha.
And I can wait for them to never make a sequel, but re-release it 18 times.
Okay. but yeah, it's another. Another game in the books.
Yeah. Very cool game.
Yep.
And we'll play something
else.
Decide
on what's next?
No, I'm still not 100% sure. Lots of options. Probably either... I still like the idea of doing Halo at some point, so I don't know if that's what we'll start doing tomorrow, but I bet it's a thing we'll do at some point. And I also still might just be down to play Mother 3.
Mother 3.
If you guys vote Mother 3,
Brian was also very adamantly Mother 3.
Then I'll say definitively, we'll play Mother 3 now, and then I'll prep for... Because I do want to play Halo
that's
campaign
fine.
Co-op, but it would be...
I still, like I said, I don't want to do like a bunch of those games in a row. Like mm-hmm. I will do a Halo game,
yeah.
then we'll play something else,
mm-hmm.
and then we could do another Halo game and then play something
else. Yeah, I will need to do a little legwork to set us up for that, so I probably while we're playing, I guess first Mother 3 and then maybe a different thing after that, I'll have us prepared.
What does that mean?
To play. Just like, I think it'd be cool to have like both gameplay feeds up.
Oh,
on a
God,
single stream.
We're not... I thought we were just going to just half-screen it. You can play that.
No, you can't play it, so
yeah,
that's the thing.
We did. We totally did.
Did we?
Yes, we absolutely did.
I thought they took that out of those Master Chief Collection versions, but I could be wrong.
It was in there when we first played it, unless they took it out, like, afterwards.
No, you're probably right then. I just...
We
all
definitely
right, well,
did.
Then never mind. Then
we
I guess that doesn't matter.
We definitely did.
So, okay, that'll be fine. I'll have to double check
so
that, but I think you're right.
That's why you were thinking about... Okay, now
yeah,
I... Yeah, okay, because
I was like,
I
thought they moved all that stuff to online only.
I'm pretty sure we played local co-op of the first one.
Okay, well, we'll find out. I'm not even going to fact check it right now. But
anyway.
By the time we get to that, we'll get to that.
Mother 3.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, because I do want to play that game. So then I guess tomorrow we'll start playing Mother 3, or today.
That game's great.
If you listen to this...
Yes.
On Thursday, whatever day that, the 6th of September.
Yeah.
Preemptive appreciation for the translation those guys made for that game.
Because it's something perfect. Is it the
it's
Starman one? Is that, do you know
yeah.
if that's, I'm assuming it's probably the one in the ROM, because it's like the best one.
Yeah,
it
I don't think so.
I don't think there was ever any others.
Because the, well, yeah, honestly, that too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, I have not personally played this game, but I watched a very in-depth, very good, Let's Play of it, and it was that mod, and
mm-hmm.
it's very good. They did a really good job.
You would never know that this was
never a commercial product.
Sure.
It is very polished.
I mean, if there's anything I know about people who like Earthbound, is that they care a lot.
They care a lot.
Yeah, they care a lot. So.
Especially the people over at Starman.net.
Like, they're nuts.
They're crazy.
Like,
but like,
there's a book 1,000 pages deep on all the little nuances
yeah.
that went into the translation of the game.
Is it the Legends of Localization book, or is that a different book?
That might be something else, although I am familiar with it.
Because I know that is like a guy who worked in actual localization, but
mm-hmm.
I don't remember if they had any kind of connection with the Starman.net people or not.
Right. Yeah, I'll totally do that, because that game, that will be a good time.
Yes.
I'm down for that.
I'm excited.
Won't always be a good time.
Well, yeah. Do we not need to get into that right now, Kyle?
Got some ups and downs.
If you thought, like, I mean, like, Earthbound has some, but this is
Earthbound ain't nothing.
Yeah, like, this...
Earthbound is a good time.
Yeah. This game, I think, is the pinnacle of the Mother series.
This game, like, this game is a journey through life.
Yes. It is. It's really good.
Right on. I'm looking forward to
it. Got dinosaurs.
It does have dinosaurs.
I love dinosaurs. All right.
Oh, man. It starts off hot with dinosaurs.
They're so cute, too. I love the little baby.
And not the next one.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Very cool.
Right on. Well, yeah. I guess that's what
this game has the ultimate chimera in it.
That's what we'll be up to. So
he has a bird on his head.
Right on. That sounds great. Yeah, so tomorrow we'll play some.
I think it was Mother 3 that had the sad wall character, too.
Yeah. Oh, God. Mr. Something. It's just this yellow guy. He's like a rectangle. And he's like, just like kneeling down on the ground. Like he's like all fours, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And just
this
anguished face.
Mm-hmm.
And he just like, I don't think he actually attacks, but it's like, it's really like.
Negative Man is what he's called.
Yes. It's really Undertale-y.
I was saying, well, that's Undertale is basically like, all those parts of the Earthbound universe.
Oh,
like
yes.
That game took all of that stuff and then they made another game.
Yes, that is. It's like the most Undertale. Like it,
right.
You can see where Toby mm-hmm. Fox got his inspiration.
Yeah.
For that,
Undertale is at its most Earthbound with characters like Nesta Blue.
So he's just like, oh gosh, negative.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into it. Yeah. Don't. I don't need any more spoilers.
I'm ready. I still think the thing you're gonna like the most about the combat is the rhythm aspect to it,
mm-hmm.
because like each enemy has its own kind of beat,
yeah.
And you can like Mario RPG style,
right,
like
right.
Tap out extra hits to mm-hmm. that beat once you find it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really cool.
I'm into it.
I know you like that kind of stuff.
Right on. Yeah, that sounds great. So yeah, tomorrow we'll start playing some other three.
Woo!
And yeah, if you guys don't have anything else, I think we'll call it a show, and I'll go get a glass of water and play some Destiny probably.
Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, I guess that'll do it. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out and talking about stuff.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Kyle, for joining us and sharing insights of video games of all shapes and sizes. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
We might have lost Kyle at the very end of the show.
Oh, no.
Am I dead?
There it goes. Oh, you're back.
Hooray.
Okay. Well, bye.
That's going to do it for us. We Woo! Will see you in a couple weeks, I'm guessing.
Probably.
So until next time. Thank you for listening. We'll see you later, Internet.
Bye!
Have fun.